Hey guys, it's Tom Takar here. Happy 3/11. We decided it'd be fun, given the holiday, to replay our 3/11 episode with Sean Patton. We miss you, you piss freaks. We'll be back with a regular episode next week, but I hope you enjoy this very fun episode we did a long time ago. The podcast first started with the hilarious Sean Patton. Unfortunately, we will not be at Tree Fort in Boise coming up. That festival has been postponed due to Corona. But we should be making the postponed date. So we'll see you in Boise soon enough. We'll be in Indy doing a live episode for Yuck Fest and more to come. And we miss you. All right, bye.
The year is 1988. A NASA scientist testifies that man-made global warming has begun, which could explain the heat going on between Kevin Arnold and Winnie Cooper each week on The Wonder Years. In Omaha, the vice presidential debate turns ugly when Dan Quayle says he's as experienced as JFK, and his opponent, Lloyd Bentsen, replies, "Senator, I served with Jack Kennedy. I knew Jack Kennedy. Jack Kennedy was a friend of mine. Senator, you are no Jack Kennedy." Got his ass. And after some tough times in La La Land, Nick Hexum returns to Omaha to start a band with his friend Chad Sexton. Chad introduced him to Jim Watson and Aaron Peanut Willis. As legend has it, Hexum had a nut allergy, but not the kind that makes you swell up or get rashes. No, this allergy made Hexum get funky and start rapping. And rather than get Benadryl, the boys picked up some instruments. They quickly wanted to start releasing music, and Hexum knew they needed a label to be successful, so he started What Have You Records, and the boys put out 3 albums and an EP before signing to Capricorn Records in 92. During this time, they added Scratchmaster and singer S.A. Martinez, and subbed in guitar hero Tim Mahoney for guitar zero Jim Watson. The band released their first 2 major albums to small success in modern rock charts, but had to fund their own tour, on which the bus caught fire and their instruments were destroyed. While some took it as a sign from our God in heaven that what they were doing musically was wrong, they borrowed some instruments and persisted despite him and his will. In 95, the band put out a self-titled album, which featured songs Down and All Mixed Up, which would hit number 1 and 4 on Billboard's modern rock charts, respectively. Never the band to rest on their laurels, the boys put out 3 more albums over the next 4 years and opened their own recording studio where they'd record From Chaos, which featured Amber. This song, as well as their cover of Love Song from The Cure, were featured in the 2004 brain trauma comedy 50 First Dates. And the rest is history. With 11 studio albums, 8.5 million records sold, and their own self-proclaimed holiday, today we stand by 3/11.
What's he talking about?
Wait, am I hearing? Do you hear it? It's telling me to burn Tommy.
Do you have tinnitus?
I might. Yeah, it's traveling between my ears. Man, thanks for coming through, Sean.
Thanks, man. What, you know, by the way, if you had tinnitus, this is the dumbest joke in the world. If you had tinnitus, that's like one of the symptoms of a brain tumor.
Is that right?
Right. And this comedian named Joe List the other day was talking about like how he has tinnitus. And, of course, you bring that up around a bunch of comedians. Everyone goes right for the darkest possible outcome. It's like 3 people are like, that's brain tumor territory, yeah. Bud. And he was like, I should go get a CAT scan. Or I should go get a CAT scan. But the way Joe talks, I was like, why don't you get a CAT skill scan? And I'm like, hey, your results are concerned. It seems like the cause of your tinnitus is your wife's constant nagging. CAT skill scan. Which would be a funny thing if you could get it.
Yeah,
if you could request a Catskill scan and the doctor had to deliver. Yeah. Well, you got blood. You got bleeding, internal bleeding in your brain. Must be from your kids. The non-stop aggravation from all of the kids. Yeah, they had
turns
to deliver
that
it
boss
like that.
Is, turns out that boss is riding you too hard.
Oh, man.
Woo doggy.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's a hot one. You just walked here?
I walked here through, like... through like early Spike Lee film, but like it was awesome though, because like I live, you know, like I live in I don't know how gentrified actually this part of Brooklyn, like this sort of south central west east area.
How about this, where we are, west east
Well, you guys, here's the thing, you guys are in Bushwick, but anyone who doesn't live in Brooklyn but who's savvy to Brooklyn, or what I'm trying to say is who watches Girls thinks of, you know, or who listens to enough podcasts thinks of Bushwick as this, like, you know, mega fucking hip epicenter. And at parts of it, in like the Montrose Morgan stop on the L, Jefferson, where I used to live, which is in Psycho because that neighborhood's unrecognizable now. That, yes, most certainly is. But you guys live in... the bush, like the real, like this is
it's
Bushwick.
So Bushwick, it's Bed-Stuy.
Yeah, exactly.
I think L. Bushwick and J. Bushwick are very different.
Yeah,
different.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's just different. Yeah.
Damn,
yeah.
Dude, that's a fucking, that's like true. A, that's like a monthly fight.
Yeah,
it's like
yeah.
a monthly rumble.
We should meet up. Yeah,
yeah, we should battle. If you, I mean, Jay wins.
If you rewrite S.E. Hinton's The Outsiders,
yep.
instead of the Greasers and the Socs,
yeah,
it's
the L's and the J's.
The L. Brooklyn, the L. Bushwick and the J. Bushwick. J. Bushwick, definitely the Greasers. L. Bushwick, undeniably the Socs.
Yeah. I think we should do like a Warriors thing.
Yeah,
the nice part is we could just hang in the back. Yeah. Keep going.
Which yeah. Fight quickly. When is that going to start happening? When are, because people are remaking movies, covering songs.
Mm-hmm.
When are people just going to rewrite novels?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's going to be like I'm going to rewrite Old Man in the Sea. Great. Hemingway didn't know what the fuck he was doing.
I've been working on The Giver. Yeah. It's just about me. I'm very, generous. I can't remember that book.
Didn't that novel come out? Oh, wait. Is that an old novel?
That's an old book, I think, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe it's from the 90s. I read it when 90s. I was in the 90s.
I'm
old as hell. Yeah.
Classic literature.
Yeah.
The Babysitter's Club.
I'm going to tackle Goosebumps. All of them.
I did used to do that. I used to write my own Goosebumps.
You wrote fanfic?
When I was a kid, yeah.
Wow.
I loved it. They were scary as shit. I'd write it and I wouldn't be able to sleep at night reading my own.
Yeah. Do you remember any of them? I really would love to know.
I remember writing one where it was like a magic school bus gone wrong.
That's like a one-man show. God, what if you released them and they were like brilliant?
I'm sure they were. Why are we hypothesizing this? Tommy's remaking Girls, but with all men.
Yeah, that's true.
Just called Bitches.
Yeah.
Wait, that'd be funny if you release those Goosebumps, Tom. You can live in L. Bushwick.
Yeah, exactly. Part of the high culture of Bushwick would be Tom's.
But it's awesome walking around this neighborhood where it's just like, wow, this is real life Brooklyn.
Yeah.
This isn't like fucking McKibben Loft bullshit. This is like,
is for real.
It's like people born and raised and live. And,
oh, yeah. People angry that we are here.
Yeah.
People just reading fucking Essence magazines on their front porch in just shorts.
A lot of people sitting on a porch here.
A lot of
children up till 1 a.m. here.
I got caught in a water balloon fight yesterday.
Really?
I was walking to Walgreens. And people were just throwing water balloons at each other. It was right when school got out. And I end up like walking on the street because I was like, I'm going to get fucked.
I think I heard about that in a Jay-Z song.
Yeah.
I heard about it in a Bon Iver song. You know, they both cover the same. They really do cover the same sides of the coin. No, the that's fucking funny, dude. I wish I'd gotten a water balloon fight.
Yeah.
You know what it is though? It's all about like you have to. I feel like if you're part of like the gentrification train, just fucking acknowledge and be nice to people.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
It's when you walk past with your headphones in, staring at the ground, not looking at anyone, and you. Of course, if I grew up in a neighborhood like that, and people were moving, I'd be like, "This, who the fuck are these people?"
Right.
But if you like, you know, like take your fucking headphones off, look me, you know, look at the eye, shake your,
it is creepy.
Give my head a nod.
It's like, really creepy to like move into a neighborhood and then like have everyone muted basically with your headphones. It's like a Fahrenheit 451 shit.
It's like a school bus gone wrong.
That's what I wrote, actually.
Exactly. Everyone's, no one's communicating.
I predicted earbuds.
Like the bus driver falls asleep, but no one says anything to one another because they're all listening to music.
Damn.
And just, I mean, because that's the thing. Like,
got chills.
I was in, you know, when you see people riding trains or walking on the street, even watching a TV
on their phone,
on their phone.
And I had a thing, well, not a thing. It was an encounter at LaGuardia where, like, I was flying Southwest, and some woman was on her phone watching TV, and she was standing right, like, she was in, basically, I needed to know what her ticket was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know? Oh, yeah, like, Southwest.
Yeah,
and
I was like, oh, excuse me. And she gave me this look and, like, pulled her earbuds out and gave me this look like I was such a rude bastard.
Oh, my God.
And I, it's like, if we're there, if we're at that point where it's rude to interrupt someone who's watching TV in public, we're 5 years tops away from public masturbation being fine.
Yeah, yeah.
As long as someone's watching
if
it.
If you're watching
on their phone.
Porn.
Yeah, it's like they're in their safe space.
Yeah. Hey, stop interrupting me. I'm about to come.
Exactly. They're masturbating near children. Well, but they have their headphones in. Clearly, that's rude of you to disturb them.
I hate that Southwest lining up shit. And people are always act like they don't understand what's going on. And then they'll have like, a like 50 and you have 30 and they're standing in front of you, like, you know that it says that right there.
Yeah,
right? Like, it's infuriating.
It's only awesome. I don't fly Southwest anymore because the what I hate is the points don't roll over. This is the practical.
Wait, is that true?
Yeah, they don't roll over.
Oh shit.
This is the practical point of the podcast.
This is Todd Berry's podcast.
But I
now.
Don't yeah. I don't like that because it doesn't roll over. It's like, well, cool. I just flew a shitload last year and now it doesn't matter.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah, I went to the Catskills travel agent. He said my wife wouldn't roll over.
He said my wife wouldn't roll over. But like it's only fun. It's only good to fly if you're like by yourself.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, it sucks traveling with people.
Yeah, well, if you're in a group.
This is a story I've told. I don't know if I've told it on here. Like, 3 weeks ago, I was the last person to check in on my Southwest flight, like dead last.
Yeah.
And it was a full flight, and the only seat open was next to a guy who was crying out loud.
Really?
I swear to God. And I sat down, and I put my headphones, and I was like, I was in that situation where I was like a little hungover, and I wanted to be empathetic, and I was like, I was
in
gonna be like, hey, you're all right, buddy.
Okay.
But then he immediately started talking to me. He's like, I just got out of rehab and stuff. So he talked to my ear off for hours telling me not to, like, get into drugs and stuff. And I was like, yeah, I'm not the fucking drug head. It's you. That's you, buddy.
Do you think I'm a mirror, sir?
Yeah. Yeah. But he kept telling me. He's like, I'm going to go see my family. I have to tell them it's over. It was crazy.
He's breaking up with your family?
He's breaking up with his family.
I don't understand what you mean. It's over.
I'm going to see other families.
It is crazy that he checked in before me, though. I don't I just don't.
When you get a rehab, the only thing you're good at is checking in. Because you've been,
got his ass.
That's what you've been doing. You know, that's what changed your life, really. Let's just say it.
Yeah, I mean, his family probably checked him in before.
Yeah. Like, I was telling Tom.
I would always buy the early bird check-in.
Oh, really? It's $15. Not
my bad. My friend was like hitting on this girl at a comedy club when I was in Chicago recently, and I asked her. I was just like trying
jokes
to make conversation. Not joke. Jokes
and
Notes is closed.
Oh, damn. I bombed there, and they shut
so
it down.
So I asked her. I was trying to make conversation. We were all in Uber together. I was like, "Oh, where'd you go to school?" And she goes, "I've been to rehab twice."
Oh, so Life University.
Yeah.
Oh, so
School of Hard Knocks.
So what's the mascot? The Angel Dusts. The Angel Dusts, plural. The Angel Dusters.
We're the horses.
The horses?
Yeah, horse, you know,
yeah,
for heroin.
Kick the horse.
Oh, I've never.
You didn't know it was called horse?
No, but that's fucking great.
That's, if you watch
Seabiscuit
in reverse, it's a totally different movie.
Gotta kick the horse. I just meant you had to get off of your fucking equestrian dream.
Did you know that Seabiscuit and Uncle Cracker's Follow Me line up perfectly? Did you hear that song's about heroin?
Oh,
Follow Me?
I've heard actually that. Have heard like that. A rumor. Swim through your veins like a fish in the sea.
Yeah, I don't know if it's true. It's a little on the nose. Swim through your veins?
Did you think Uncle Cracker would be more subtle?
Yeah. I don't the poetry that is Uncle Cracker.
We should do Uncle Cracker on here.
Does anyone like him?
I don't know. Maria was saying people like him. What about drunk Uncle Cracker?
Oh,
huh?
My God.
You know what?
Uncle Cracker.
That's the thing, and this will touch on what this podcast is about. I've learned you might as well just love and hate every band.
Interesting.
You know what I mean?
Why do you say, why are you into the duality of
it? It is such a, it is, there's nothing I sometimes I think comedy can be more polarizing, but I'm often proven wrong.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there's nothing more polarizing than in the art world than music.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's 100%
it's
true.
Because
like, even if somebody hates a painting, yeah. they're not like, that painting's gay, it sucks.
The paintings, people who like that painting are pieces of
shit. I think it's because you're not surrounded by it. Like, you're not constantly, like, it's not forced on you. Whereas in comedy, it's not usually forced on you either. Whereas music, it's just always around. You're hearing it at bars. You're hearing it like just in public all the time, so people get really fired up about it. That reminds me, we're here to talk about 311 today. Sean has brought us some 311 music to listen to. We brought a feature. This is good because this is the first week we're going to do this. Last week we had Jared Thompson on, the owner of the Comedy
Attic.
And Sean knows Jared.
Yeah, I know Jared. He's a particular guy. Wait, was he here in New York?
No, we were at Limestone Comedy Festival.
Oh.
And we did something
different.
What band
did he defend?
He didn't defend anything.
Okay.
We did something a little different. What was he going to defend? The Beatles?
Yeah.
We did something we've never done before where we had somebody, my buddy Jonas, come on and defend Bare Naked Ladies.
Allegedly.
Which turned into me just defending Bare Naked Ladies. Turned out he didn't even want to do it. Jared just made him do it so that Jared could shit on Bare Naked Ladies.
Yeah.
So this week we're going to start the feature where we had Jared send in a voice memo of what he thinks about 311.
Oh, God.
They're all
going
to listen to.
I can't wait.
And also, Tommy, did your dad send us anything?
He didn't know anything about him. Yeah.
Did we already talk about your dad's like previous comments? Like, okay. I couldn't remember if we had discussed it.
I will say my dad sent an email to my whole family asking not to call him on Father's Day. He said, don't worry about it this year.
You're bothering him.
Yeah.
Let's see if this is good to go. All right. This should play. Your headphones are in, Tommy? All right.
Yeah.
Hey, it's your boy Jared. You remember me from last week's episode where I dismantled the Bare Naked Ladies. Nothing but positive feedback. Everyone agrees they're terrible. This week, the boys, Tom and Tommy, have asked me to start a new thing where I give my opinion for each week in a short little synopsis. And we start out with one of my bands on the Mount Rushmore of worst music of all time, and that's 311. My opinion of 311 is... they have two major problems. Usually a band that's bad has one or the other, but not both. But they're the rare breed of just offensive, despicable, disgusting-sounding music that everyone that listens to it completely hates in every way. And one of the problems is that they play like 10 different types of music in a single album, or like they'll have like a reggae part and then they'll just be this horrible like sing rapping. It's just really awful. But then on top of that, they also have this like horrible loyal fan base of people who like just completely disregard how terrible that the music is. Like, you know, it's like one thing if you really listen to like the Eagles or the Red Hot Chili Peppers, but like you might go see them in concert or you might not, but this shitty band has like a cruise that you can go on and like just this despicable nonsense and crap. I just want to point out also that Tommy and Tom say that they'll S your D's. I'm just not going to do that. All right, thanks.
Oh, Jared. Well, we tell people this is an ongoing offer. It's not over yet. Mm-hmm. The deal continues. If you rate and review our podcast, we'll suck your dick.
We will suck your dick. Yeah.
We'll suck your fucking
God,
dick.
God, I would love that if that were true.
Oh, it's true.
It's not. Yeah.
Just like yeah. We have 26 reviews and our mouths are sore.
That's a marathon's worth of blowjobs. Or 26. We need the point, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, fans are like,
called Tim McGough.
Which Tom did you get? Tommy or Tom? Because one of them's all about short strokes, one about long slurps.
And the real fans know who's who.
Oh, yeah. And a long.
I'm such a fan. They could both blow me, and I have a blindfold on. And I'll tell you, who's blowing me?
I like a girl with a long skirt and a short skirt and a long slurp.
Slurp. Long, and a jacket as well.
She's going the distance.
That was Jared Thompson. Yeah,
I mean, look, here's the fact. He's not, such an interesting thing. He is not incorrect on I just want to be clear about something. I only gave you guys 311 because of how fucking just bad. They're terrible. I do not in any way, shape, nor form disagree with anything Jared or any 311 hater has to say about 311. The problem is they also probably didn't grow up in Slidell, Louisiana in the 90s. Mm. Like, it's, I can acknowledge, yes, for, yeah, yeah, pick it apart. Yeah. It's fucking so stupid.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
beyond the fucking, it's off the chart stupid. Like, if you watch, and I didn't send you this song because I almost couldn't take it, mm-hmm. but there's a, they have a song called Come Original.
Yeah, I know Come Original. Yeah,
which
yeah.
is...
You've got to.
It's, but, it which is, that's the problem with that song. It's like, it's a good message. It's saying, hey, everyone, uh-huh. be yourself.
Yeah.
Do
yeah.
your thing. Don't mm-hmm. copy anyone else's. However, Nick Hexum, the lead singer,
right, of course.
Not S.A. Martinez,
right.
who could get away with this because he's a minority,
right.
but Nick Hexum, the fucking bleach blonde lead singer, performs half of that song in fucking patois. You know what I mean? You come original. Here why? Oh, no. He says that. He
yeah,
says, here why? He doesn't say, here's why.
Yeah.
You come original. Here why? Now, which is interesting, if you go to Jamaica, you will see white people with Jamaican accents, but they're born and bred in Jamaica.
Whereas he's from Omaha Nebraska. Yeah.
It's,
well, have
I mean,
you not been to Little Jamaica in Omaha?
That's what they call Omaha, the Jamaica of the Midwest, the Kingston of the Midwest. I mean, it's so
ja.
Fucking...
It's Ja Paterno. He's from Penn State.
It's close.
M watch the college baseball World Series every year. Bro. Wait, Warren Buffett. He's from there.
Oh, Huskies.
Which is funny because you have from Omaha, you have 311, but then you have Cursive and Bright Eyes and Connor Oberst as well, which is interesting. Which is every
Saddle Creek.
I'll tell. This is a fucking fun story. I like to tell. I won't name the comedian. I probably will.
Please do.
So the first ever Crom Fest, which is a comedy festival. Yeah, the first one. Well, Omaha.
Mm-hmm.
I was there. I went for the second one, and there's a comedian. His name's Timmy Williams.
He was at the one I did too.
Right, of the Whitest Kids You Know fame. Never really did stand up that much.
Right.
Was a sketch performer guy. Lovely fucking dude. Love him to pieces. Wish he didn't have to live in South Dakota now.
Mm.
But he's got a kid and you gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah.
But he's a wonderful dude. But he, we're at this festival and he's one of the headliners and it was, you know, it's a good show and Timmy goes on and decides to, you know, finally take down 311. Because, you know, the people of Omaha have been under the tyranny of, you know, just the blind fan fucking fan loyalty of 311. Like, they were, somebody please point out how bad 311 is so we Omaha can finally sleep at night. I mean, you know what I'm saying? He goes up there and he starts shitting on 311 and you feel the entire audience just go, wow. You don't think we've been here.
You don't think we own
a timeshare on this beach. And they just completely clock it. It was the most clocking out of a show I've ever seen. Watching Timmy just fucking...
That's like when somebody in Brooklyn like takes down Trump. And it's like, we were already on your team, dog.
No, that's like when someone in fucking Brooklyn who lives in... I already brought it up, but like who lives in like the McKibben Lofts shits on gentrification.
It's like
you are. Uh-huh. Why don't you put a gun in your mouth right now?
And just, you heard it here first, folks. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you live in McKibben Lofts,
kill
your fucking brains out, bitch.
But do it, you know, with a make sure to have an easel or something behind you. And capture that art.
That'd be a good threadless T-shirt.
Yeah. What? But it was just so fucking funny watching him just. I love Timmy, but he just didn't like. And then
sometimes you just make bad choices like that.
And then the host goes on after him. He's like, "Hey, Timmy, get back up here. Let him know what you think about Counting Crows." But Counting Crows aren't from Omaha.
They simply have that song called Omaha. Great song.
So then it was like the audience, then in unison, were like, "They're not from here."
Oh shit!
Like it was clearly two things they've heard way too much of.
You know what? The people of Omaha are hard to please. Is what I take from this story. How about you just appreciate that there's people in your fucking town doing? I love Omaha.
But yeah, like 311's so. But like, fuck it. I was a fucking 16-year-old kid.
And look,
I get it. Some people are just so smart and so genius and intelligent that they're able to, at a very young age, just figure out what perfect music is. They're able, and I get it. I'm just not one of those people. Some people are so awesome. They're just so awesome across the board that when they hear music as a young child, they never, ever once, you know, they right away question it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They right away go, wait a second. You think this is good? What about the Kinks? Like some people know to look up the Shins and the Smiths right mm-hmm. away.
Well, they go on Pitchfork Junior, which is the kids' Pitchfork site.
Some people are the devil, and they're born with a fucking pitchfork, and they'll never be fucking happy at all, and they just want to shit on everything else that people fucking enjoy. So I get it. I was not one of these super hyper intelligent, amazingly talented, witty, perfectly music taste having children. Well, so when I fucking heard 311, yeah, exactly. You used to have at least have the bravery to admit that. When I heard 311 as a kid, I was 14 the first time I heard them.
Of course,
I was like, "What? What is they're talking about weed? And they're fucking rap and they're rapping. What the hell is this?"
Yeah, yeah.
And so fucking, of course, I was into it.
Were they the first of their kind that you'd heard?
That I heard, yeah. Because look, a lot of people say they're like a knockoff Rage Against the Machine. And if
that
means you clearly don't listen to Rage Against the Machine, nor have you ever, because you fit like, yeah, I get it. They're both quote unquote rap rock.
Yeah, yeah.
But No. Rage Against the Machine's like, that's actual poetry.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
as angry, as much as you can shit on Rage about, you know, being sponsored by Red Bull or whatever fucking nonsense you hate them for selling out once they all turn 45, you know, what they did, they're fucking, I should have said Rage and defended them, but you can say 311 and Rage are similar in like a it's like saying you, Tom Thakkar, and fucking Chris D'Elia are similar because you both hold a microphone.
You fucking do that.
But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
I know.
It's the base. It's like basic level. You can't. I couldn't compare 311 and fucking Rage, except for the fact that there's occasional rap involved. But what Zach De La Rocha does versus what fucking Nick Hexum and S.A. Martinez, it's come on. That's not even apples and oranges. Yeah. That's like apples and fucking Starburst.
They
I think 14
that.
Makes a lot of sense. I think 14 was like the perfect
kid.
Yeah,
yeah, dumb for sure.
Which
because
3 plus 11?
Cool. Yeah. Oh, 14. That's true.
Figured it out.
We have you heard the rumors about
how
they got their name?
Well, there's a few. There's the whole
there's the KKK one.
Which that one is
not true.
Fucking stupid.
Yeah.
What
a lame form
Wait,
of
for the
racism
listeners.
Too. Oh yeah, we should explain.
K is the 11th letter in the alphabet.
And 3 Ks is a strike. Is a perfect inning for a pitcher.
And they're.
You think that's why the white supremacists do that? They just love baseball so much.
Yeah. Well, apparently, I mean, I've heard it's 311's a police code.
That's the most popular one.
Indecent exposure
in Omaha, at least. And then there's just a couple more.
So I read a couple more on the Snopes article disproving the KKK one. One of them that they said was. Like, maybe it's just a number I got from a higher power was one of them.
Okay,
the other one I saw was, well, in numerology, 3 means male and 11 means magic. So we're male magic.
So it could be that. It could be a Magic Mike situation.
Jesus.
They came up with that years ago.
I think I actually, guys, what it is it's how much money they all put in together to record their first album.
One of your songs is from that first album.
I mean, I know all of, well, I know the first 3 albums anyway.
That's their first non-label, I mean, that's their first album ever. Yeah, yeah. No, the music was on the, on a label, I think, right?
I don't know. That's the only one. That's
wrong.
The first one.
People
I know.
Are going to be mad.
Before we get away from the name topic, when I was Googling what does 311 mean, the first result that came up was Revelations 311 from the Bible, which is, "Behold, I am coming quickly."
Oh,
really?
Shit.
That is what the verse says.
Wow. I really thought you were going to be like, and it said, "Behold, come quickly."
Behold, I am coming originally.
Behold, come originally. And quickly. Oh, it's fucking great. Oh, God, I hope that's true.
This is fun. This made me like them. So, okay, actually, before we do this, so you got into them when you were 14. They were like, they were cool.
I got into them, yeah, when I was a fucking freshman in high school. Head.
Did you see them live ever?
I've seen them live 6 times.
Wow.
Only because, and this goes back to something Jared was saying, and you can't question Jared.
You know,
he's just,
oh, shit.
He's a perfect.
He's actually in town right now. We can go kick the shit out of him.
No, we couldn't do that because he's got a list of how he could probably beat our asses.
Oh, God.
Love you, Jared. He fucking hates me so much. He's just a perfect guy. And he was pointing out that they're just diehard fan base, and they used to come to New Orleans every single year on March 11th.
They're 311 day.
And play a 3 hour and 11 minute set.
Oh, that's way too long.
I never went to any of those, but they did a bunch of festivals in the city and like around New Orleans, around the South. I've been because it was just like dumb fun. Uh-huh. It was never like I never went because I was here's the thing. I was never this 311 head. I was never this like I fucking love 311. And I knew people who did.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
I knew people who like knew everything, knew Peanut's real name. That's the bassist.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And he beats that thing.
His name is Peanut.
That's his code. Yeah, exactly.
Really quickly.
It's spelled.
Have you heard Peanut's more recent work?
God, is it just bow, 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 bow,
bow. He collabed
Is it just a remix of the Seinfeld transition song?
Hold on, let me pull it up here. It's actually pretty good. Here we go. Can we hear that? Is that playing? Oh, I didn't put the thing on. Sorry, this is stupid.
No, that's all right.
Next guy. Oh, dude, does he have to come out here? Why not? He's a talking jalapeno.
He's collaborating with a guy in our industry, Jeff Dunham.
Shut the fuck
on
up!
Yeah, that's Peanut.
This is a bad bit.
Jeff
Dunham has a puppet that's called Peanut.
I really hope it was a real thing, though.
They're drunk off their asses.
Are you drunk on Peanut's Look at the fans. They love him.
3 hours and 11 minutes. I can't, like, even when, like, I've seen Bruce Springsteen play for like 3 hours, and even that is too long for me. I'm like, we could get to the good ones.
In my defense, in all 6 times I saw 311, it's mainly because of the band that they were performing with.
Who's that?
Okay, the first time was Helmet.
Okay.
I know Helmet.
Okay, Helmet. You know Helmet?
One Helmet.
That was
song.
Some, like, 90s fucking. That was like Matt. Would you call it math? I wouldn't call it math rock.
Primus when I think of Helmet. Is that?
Da-da-da. I also saw Primus with Helmet. Helmet and Primus as well.
Okay, so they are kind of connected.
Helmet was the first band. The second, the Far Side, the rap group.
I don't know them.
The Far Side.
No, I know the cartoon.
They're fucking amazing. You know, there's a Far Side song that you definitely know. Called "She Keeps on Passing Me By." I can't make the sounds. But if you look up the Far Side Passing Me By, you know that song. The third time was Cypress Fucking Hill.
Ooh.
Cypress Hill opening for 311,
that's
by the
crazy.
Way. I'm gonna throw that out there.
Yeah.
So that's why I went so there. The fourth time was Incubus.
Uh-huh.
Who's
also been on this show.
But this was pre like beautiful. Anomaly. It was like dreadlocked, fucking rage,
and
then the fifth time was fifth and sixth time were Deftones with the Deftones.
Mm-hmm. I like some Deftones.
So like, I always went to see 311 because of who was opening for them.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'd stay and watch the show because I'll put it to you like this: they were excellent. This is, I think, why they have such a fan base. They were excellent performers.
I've heard they're very good live.
Yeah,
that's a lot of what I was reading.
They didn't phone. Yeah. They never phoned it in. However, it is still 311 songs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still someone. It's like a fucking award-winning chef at Applebee's.
Yeah,
you know, it's like he fucking crushes those jalapeno blasters.
But he's still dealing with frozen food.
Exactly, exactly. But he microwaves the shit out of them.
I can see, like, if I was, like, blackout drunk having fun at a 311 concert. It's like
or high out of your goddamn mind. Right. And you're 17.
They remind
all your
me.
Friends are like, ah, you know, you're just fucking being a goober.
Listening to them and then reading that, I was thinking about when I went to see Dave Matthews' band for a weekend, because they jam out a lot, too.
Right.
But it's, like, angrier jamming than Dave Matthews, you know?
Oh, God, yeah. They're also, like, I mean, they do have this insane fan base. And the one thing I will always, it's, they're similar to, like, a Jan band in the sense that, like, they never went, like, the MTV route.
Mm-hmm.
This is my one defense of 311. How about this? This is the one thing I actually defend. They never went the, like, we're going to make a shitload of music videos and be on TRL and try and appeal to, like, the pop candy Carson Daly world. They were just like, we're just going to play a fuck ton of shows and release albums.
Yeah.
And they built, like, a very organic fan base.
Yeah. I think that's why I didn't know them that well, because I was, like, an MTV kid.
Right.
I said, Carson Daly, I want him more often than Daly.
Well, here's the thing. You could argue that they just sucked and MTV was like, nah. But if that is the case, then they basically are like the Marc Maron of shitty music, in the sense that they were like, well, I'm just going to do it myself then.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's, I mean, and Mark, if you're listening, wasn't a dig at you, all right? But I'm just saying, you know, the industry did say no, and you said, fine, I'll do it myself, and now you're Marc Maron. So it's like 311 did the same thing. They just sort of like, fuck it. They did their own thing. They built a like, I still know people that I went to high school with who I guarantee if 311 was...
They're there
in a fucking heartbeat. They're bringing their kids.
I was shocked by how many songs they have.
Yeah, they have, what, they have 11 like an
insane catalog. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, when that's the level. I'm just saying, like, when you're putting out, who I? It's 8:16 a.m. I mean, some of their songs, like,
they put
song,
out a song last week. They put out a new song.
Jesus,
it is
Christ.
so bad.
Like, oh, that's the thing. Like, it's just I listen to it nowadays, sheerly for like. That, like, oh, this is so fucking bad, but I love how bad it is. Like, there was a night, this is like, my best friend from high school lives in my neighborhood. Like, he lives in Brooklyn. Like, we've been friends for 20-something years now. He moved here before I did, but we still, we're very close friends. But, like, 3 years ago, we were just out. He came and saw a show. We come back to Brooklyn. We go to a bar. We're just hanging out, shooting the shit. And we start talking about 311 lyrics, because they have some of the dumbest fucking lyrics of all time. Case in point, there's a lyric where Nick Hexum sings, "You treat your fucking friends like Dracula, but when we kick you out, you're just Brokula."
No, that can't be
actual 311 lyric.
That is pretty impressive, though, that he was able to rhyme Brokula.
Or that he was able to just say, you know what? I can't figure out what rhymes with Dracula, so let's make up a word.
It doesn't even
rhyme.
Let's
just create a word. that doesn't fully rhyme. That's a partial rhyme, I believe. But we were fucking laughing about that and trying to figure out which fucking song it was.
Yeah.
So my friend, Darius is his name, he just right there was like, I'm just going to, I think he was convinced it was on Grassroots.
Uh-huh.
So he just downloaded Grassroots.
You listened to the whole thing?
And on our drunken walk home, he just played it on his phone, and it was we were just dying laughing, like jamming out but hating. This is so fucking stupid, but having the greatest time, like, to the point where we like walked around the block again at 5:30 in the morning, just like two fucking drunk guys jamming out to music that if anyone heard it, they'd be like, what is this garbage?
Yeah.
What the fuck? Especially in Brooklyn, like, are they listening to 311? Like that. In fact, we were, in a way, what everyone is trying to be. Truly ironic.
We were
actually like, oh no, this is fucking. We're listening to this to hate it, and also because our attempt is to hate it, we're actually loving it.
Which is
actually irony. So we were being truly ironic, but it was fucking.
That's a good time.
It's just dumb music.
Yeah.
It's just dumb.
I feel like we do that.
It's a hand job.
Yeah. You know? Wait.
It's musical hand job. It's a musical hand job. It's not that good, But you blow your load eventually.
Mm-hmm. And it's the only way that God wants you to have sex.
Man, it's such a, but yeah, they do have a, they are like 311 heads. There are like 311 fucking heads out there where I'm like, nah, man, that's not, S.A. Martinez is not the best MC of all time.
Oh my God.
Like that kind of shit. Yeah. Like, dude, S.A. Martinez could fucking hang with a Tribe Called Quest. Like, you're out of your goddamn mind. But I appreciate you. You have to have, like, you have, like,
courage of your convictions.
Music is just such an interesting thing, because when you boil it all down, like, music is, my girlfriend's a musician, so her and I have this argument constantly. I'm not at all saying music is easier or comedy is harder than music. It's just a different thing. Like, for comedy, sure, it's just you and your ideas and your voice, and you have to, like, be very precise in what you're saying. Mm-hmm. With music, you know, lyrics, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're up for interpretation. They don't have to be, like, exact.
You couldn't do a broke little bit.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, you could have lyrics where, yeah, there are those songs where it's very clear what the fucking person's trying to say. There are also, it's like, what are they saying? That's why you're listening to the song. But regardless of what they're saying, it's assisted by a series of sounds. It's a beat and a strum and a piano and a horn and a guitar. So it's like, all of that is based, they create sounds that you like or dislike, but I think you don't have very little choice in the matter. Does that make sense, what I just said?
Yeah.
Like, it's like you hear a sound and it's pleasurable to you based on dozens of different variables.
Yeah.
But, like, you hear the right combination of a drum beat and a horn and a guitar strumming and a piano playing or whatever instrument you're in the band. And if you like or dislike that, How you know what I'm saying?
It's like how your brain's wired. You don't, like,
you don't know. You don't have a, like, I don't think you have a choice in that. You can eventually make a choice to learn about that and change the way you feel. But, like, on initial contact of the sound hitting your ears, it's a fucking sound. It doesn't have anything to do with intelligence.
Yeah.
It doesn't have anything to do with education. It doesn't have anything to do with where you're from. I really believe all this. It's just your brain is wired a specific way. And if you hear, like, a like,
I love that.
Right,
that was actually really good. I'm glad we got that recorded.
Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's such a, like, it's such a. I don't know how to categorize it. I can't find the words. But you're
very interesting. No, it's interesting, but it is weird. Do you think that means that, like, people who are into what we consider higher art music are forcing themselves to like it?
But what does that mean? What, like, is higher art,
like,
music?
You know, like the shit that Pitchfork likes. Like the stuff that we consider,
like, I want to like, I love the first couple Radiohead albums, and I want to like the other ones, but I just can't stand
piece
them.
Of shit.
I really don't like them.
Well, I the first ones or later ones?
I can't.
You like the first ones.
I love the, like,
the,
I love the bands, and I love OK Computer.
The first ones are considered.
Do you like Kid A?
No, I can't get into it. Like, and I've tried 100 times.
See, Kid A is mine. But I mean, like, I can also, like, I also love OK Computer.
But, like,
I want to like
the
Kid
first
A.
Ones. Yeah. I get it, because the first ones are considered, like, dumb people music, and like, so you would probably like that.
Oh, but, really? Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, how? That's
what I mean, though. Like, the Kid A is considered
something
you have to be a little bit more, like, musically sophisticated, or, like, people consider themselves more. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sure Pitchfork gave Kid A fucking 9 or something like that, or an 8.5 or some shit.
Probably, yeah.
Whereas they would give they don't give 311 anything. They don't give them
shit. I mean, okay, but, like, okay, that we're talking about, I feel like that, you can grow into that. Of course, obviously, you can hear sounds, be like, oh, I like this, and then decide, like, oh, I like, you know, it's just like when you're,
I mean, you have evolution, I guess.
Well, it's just like, you have evolution of taste, of course.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you don't. I'm saying eventually you can choose what kind of sound you like and dislike.
I'm going the other way. Yeah. I'm going to make myself start to, like, NSYNC again and stuff, and that's the only music I'm going to listen to.
Nice.
I'm pretty excited about
it. Well, obviously, there's definitely, like, when you listen to, like, you know, Lil Yachty, which is just, I don't even know how you fucking categorize that. That's almost like he's fucking with everyone.
Did you hear the new controversy about Lil Yachty? It's my favorite thing in the world.
He had
a line that was called,
this is so funny.
It's the best line. He had a lyric that was, "My bitch yellow, she blow my dick like a cello."
I mean, that's probably the best thing he's ever fucking written.
Then he released a statement apologizing, and I thought he was going to be apologizing about saying "my bitch yellow," because it's not. But instead,
it's like
just
Asian.
Going, he's like, No one ever told me that a cello isn't a woodwind instrument, and I thought that you blow a cello.
And he thought that Squidward was playing
a cello.
A cello.
He goes, apparently that's actually a flute, but as Becca James pointed out, it's actually a clarinet. But yeah.
God damn it! Now I like Lily.
Isn't that the
amazing?
Best?
Now I fucking respect I'm a huge
him.
Fan.
I thought Squidward was playing him. The cello.
Well, it's like, but he's like the fucking he's an Andy Kaufman. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Not Andy Kaufman. Andy Warhol.
Mm-hmm.
He's almost like that, reverses it, like, what is music?
Yeah,
what
yeah.
is hip-hop?
Uh-huh.
This is hip-hop, and you're buying it.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, it's like, but then, you listen to, like, Kendrick Lamar, you listen to, like, Pimp uh-huh. a Butterfly. Yeah. I haven't heard of Kendrick Lamar's new shit.
Damn, it's great.
Amazing.
I just haven't gotten around to it, that's the only reason. But, like, because I'm still on to Pimp a Butterfly.
Yeah.
Because I'm still listening to that. Like it's a fucking, it's almost like a rock opera or a hip hop
yeah.
opera.
It is
it's
amazing.
Like,
that's
yeah.
the
it's
new
amazing.
One is kind of like that too. Right. It's very good.
So obviously you can go from that. You can go from liking basic bullshit to evolving to liking, you know. Because I know a lot of people who hate Kendrick Lamar because mm-hmm. they're like, that's not hip hop. And it's like, no, it's because you're stuck
yeah.
in one. It's like the
those 3K guys don't like him so much either.
Yeah, for reasons that have nothing to do with what comes out of his mouth. Yeah, I mean, it's just, I guess, going back to my point, it's just like, I don't see any reason in getting so bent out of shape over what people consider good music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's gonna, sure. now, I don't think there's, I think it's, by that same rationale, I think it's perfectly okay to fucking hate, you know, and uh-huh. hate on things. Like, I mean, I don't like Taylor Swift.
Oh shit! You're gonna
Taylor
have some
Swift.
Trouble. You know? Yeah, T Mac is a big fan.
I
he's
just,
so psyched that
I get,
she's on
but
Spotify.
I get it though. It's like it's audibly pleat. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, but honestly, don't you get a little when she starts rapping?
Yeah, I mean, I was like, what? Not she like, doesn't rap.
She'll do like a verse.
She does like get down with this sick yeah. beat. Is the thing everyone makes fun of?
No, I remember she has that one that she's like. My name is Taylor Swift, and I'm here to say,
come
Katie
on, Richard,
Perry
now. Come on. Yeah, she does the remix.
Yeah, I love that. It's fire.
But I mean, I get why you like it. Because if you know Nate Bergazzi, he's the same fucking way. He
best.
Loves Taylor Swift. And I'm like, get the fuck
Jonagan
out of my face.
Jonagan loves
of course,
her too.
Well, Jonagan and I think Nate and Jonagan.
Sounds like the
fucking,
three best comedians in America.
Yeah.
Bergazzi, Jonagan, McNamara.
The Taylor Swift fan club tour.
Yeah. Oh, man. I need it. Get me on there.
You guys go open for her.
Oh, man.
But I mean, it's just like, but anyway, I'm sorry. I'm just getting fucking lost.
No, get fired up. This is
well, not really fired up, but just like. But at the same time, as I'm saying that, I catch myself being like, yeah, but I also will fucking actively shit on like I thought, I still think Panic at the Disco is the worst band.
Interesting.
I've ever like,
you think they're like, I was a Fall Out Boy guy and I consider them the same thing.
Really?
I consider them
very
similar.
I think Fall Out Boy's way, I'm with you though.
Yeah.
Cause I was also like a My Chemical Romance.
Yeah.
Guy.
I like My Chemical Romance. Too.
You've been to the Black Parade.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I'll go to the Black Parade right now. It's right outside of you guys' apartment.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I thought I saw you in the White Parade. Those 3K guys.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, what about The Used?
I never listened to The Used. I know a little bit of it.
But all of that era of shit, yeah, I was totally in all that.
It was a lot of emo, but I loved it. But Panic, for some reason, did not. I felt like I had friends who loved Panic.
I love that first Panic album.
It's good. I think that it's good. And we re-listened. Was it us that re-listened? Maybe it was me and Marie. To the, I chimed in with the
We listened to that in the car. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the song.
Goddamn door. It's fun. But it's like, it felt very manufactured to me. Like they wanted to be a new pop punk emo band, and they were like, "Let's just put all the sounds together that equal that." Like, but I'm sure that they're the same. I haven't read enough about them, but I'm sure they're the same as Fall Out Boy.
That guy's on Broadway now.
That's right,
Panic at the Disco. He's in Kinky Boots.
Good. So did he take all the dialogue and just string it out into like one fucking conversation that
that's
fucking lyrics?
The new title of the play is the whole like all the words they say in it.
But I guess that's my point titles. Though. It's like I fucking hate him. You love him. Who cares though?
Yeah.
I'm not gonna judge you as a human being. That's what I guess
I don't fight about.
Yeah. that's what I guess I don't like is when people like judge you as a person based on what you like. It's the same thing with food.
Sure.
And people will argue, but then people argue back at me like, well, but then you say that about comedy. I'm like, yeah, because comedy's far more precise and far more like, no, there's no mistake. If you laugh at someone who does a fucking joke about race, a racist joke, you're allowed, you know what I mean? Like,
well, you're not going to like Peanut.
Exactly. or if you laugh about someone who fucking makes a joke about string theory, you know, it's just if what you find funny, I feel like is a far more indicative of who you are as a person.
Yeah.
Whereas music is a little more, I don't think it's as telling.
I think you grow out of comedy. Like, I wouldn't go back and find something I thought was funny when I was 14. I don't think I would laugh at it if I watched it now. But I think whenever I hear music I liked when I was 14, I still like get that feeling. That what I mean? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Like, I can't go back and like Carlos Mencia now. But when I was a kid, I was like, hey, he's on Comedy Central. This is probably good.
Yeah.
But you can go. But you can go back and. I mean, I could go back and still hear like the. In fact, the other night at the Stand, they were playing. They're fucking playing Silverchair.
Oh yeah.
And I just remember, and like you listen to those lyrics, and it's like, oh yeah, there were 15-year-old kids from Australia. These are terrible lyrics. But it's like a fun you jam out.
No,
to it.
I still listen to Fall Out Boy for that same reason. Where you
I
just
still
like
listen
get
to the Used.
It. Yeah,
yeah. I'll still
It's fun. It fires you up. It makes you feel all the same emotions you felt like at a time.
But it's also, but like I said, polarizing because like I've had this conversation before where I said like. Yeah, love or hate music, but you shouldn't judge someone's character based on
totally.
It. And there are music snobs out there who will vehemently disagree.
Yeah.
Who will just, like...
What's a band... Is there any band that you would judge somebody for, like, loving? That you'd
like Johnny Rebel.
What is Johnny Rebel?
Racist country music.
Wait, that's not...
No.
Okay.
That's Johnny Paycheck.
Okay, yeah. You're thinking
Johnny Paycheck's my favorite musician.
Johnny Paycheck?
No, we just found a song by him called God. I Can't Quit Drinking, and we listened to it like 50 times. It's the best.
I can't quit drinking.
Andy
Kill,
like,
man. We talked about him last
Who is
episode.
It? Like, I mean, like, okay, like, who is it David Allan Coe? There are some old school country guys who sing straight up songs that are like, I don't like fill in with the N word.
I don't like fill in the blank.
Yes.
Car seat headrest.
Or if you listen to like neo Nazi punk where they're clearly saying, then you could judge someone. But like, if someone's just jamming out to Ariana Grande, or it's like, well, fine. Mm-hmm. That's your thing.
Yeah.
I think it's dumb, but it's the same thing as people. Oh God, I'm about to burn myself at the stake right here.
Oh, shit.
But I feel like it's similar to food. When people get angry at you, when you're like, "What do you mean you don't like sweets?"
Yeah,
it's like,
sure.
I don't like sweets.
We have different.
Why
palates.
Are you judging me as a human being based on this? However, I'm not saying music and food. I mean, actually, food is technically more important. It keeps you alive, but so does music in some ways.
Don't the lyrics of S.A. Martinez and,
doesn't that fill your belly?
Your soul needs to eat too sometimes.
I mean, trust me, dude. Trust me. There are fucking music snobs out there like, no, man. I could go for 5 days without food if you just give me more seasoned tire.
Yeah, like Brooklyn vegan.
Yeah. I could just sustain off of that. I could just live off of the Kinks' first album. Just play that on repeat, I'll survive. I get it. You love music so much you've convinced you. In fact, yes, I hope that's what happens. I would love to meet a music snob so up their own fucking ass that they dedicate themselves to locking themselves in a basement with the fucking catalog of whatever their favorite band is, and they starve to death. That we find them 3 weeks later just dead. But the music's still playing. It's still just jamming. But like just one album because they've tried to eat the other three or four. But it's like, I mean, dude, I love music. Love it. Love it. I love it so much. I feel like everyone's entitled to love whatever they love of it too. And hate it. Hate it as well.
I like reading the arguments, though. That's one thing.
Oh,
that
the arguments
I found.
Are fun. Yeah,
it's pretty fun. I found
this
argument.
Read some,
I found one that made me laugh because it was just so angry. And I feel like I listened to Amber and Love Song a bunch this week, like prepping for this. Like whenever I would go to start the playlist, I would listen to those two the most because they're like,
oh, Amber is the color of your energy.
And then you see people arguing. This guy said that they aren't good. He saw a live show and it sucked. And then this person wrote, you are a fucking moron if you think 311 put on a bad live show. I mean, you must be a fucking deaf-ass retard for sure. I would love to run into you somewhere and break your fucking face open for saying such a ridiculous statement. You retard. He wrote retard twice. Which is a word that we on the podcast don't support.
Actually, he wrote the R word, and Tom decided to fill it in.
Yeah. R word means redskins to me. So,
Wait, you mean butthead? He wrote butthead, and you erased it and put retard.
I saw
Listen,
Tom.
Thakar. How do you say it? Is it Thakar?
It's Thakar.
Thakar?
Yeah.
So it's, wait, do you have, wait a second. Do you have an H in both of your names, the silent H?
Yeah.
That's fucking great.
I didn't even think about that because I don't say.
You didn't
I
even
say
think
Tom.
About that?
Joe, what the fuck?
We didn't even think about that.
Oh my God, is that Hexum?
Yeah, you're back, dude. Wait, that's great. That should definitely be the name of your next album.
Silent H?
I just don't know why you're not already naming it that. I'm referring to you as Silent H from now on.
Ooh, I like that.
But yeah,
my favorite
no.
Chicago bands. Chicago. Silent H. Local Ooh. H.
No, wait, what was the other?
There's Triple H.
Dude, wait, there was that one Chicago band I fucking loved. Chevelle.
Oh yeah, Chevelle.
Yeah,
the
dude.
Red.
I love
Send
Chevelle.
The Pain Below.
Yeah, dude.
That's what I need it.
I saw that. I saw them live in New Orleans because they're like three brothers or cousins.
Are
or
they
something.
Really? I didn't know that.
And I saw them live in New Orleans, and it was perfect. Fucking 22-year-old angry white boy music. I was like, oh yeah, get it.
Was Caitlin's band in Chicago? Like, were they based?
No,
in
they
Chicago?
Hurt my Caitlin, my girlfriend, Caitlin Cook. Her band's called Frankly Benjamin.
Yeah, check them out.
Yeah, we're in there.
We're in the video.
Music video.
Oh yeah. Yeah, they have a music video. Excuse me. I'm drinking seltzer. Tom.
I pumped my guest Silent full of seltzer.
Silent H to car. Gave me some seltzer so I would belch nonstop.
Yeah, we take care of our guests on this podcast.
I'm sorry to just start belching while talking about my girlfriend's band. No, they were formed out here. Yeah, she started playing music in Chicago, but they formed out here.
Check them out. Yeah, we're in that music video.
They're nothing. They're so much better than 311.
They're a very good band. Yeah. Legitimately, their EP is so fun. Check it out.
311 times better than 311.
Yep. Yeah.
We're in the, it's called Old Friend.
Old Friend.
Very good.
You know, and if you treat your old friends like Dracula.
Yeah. Well, you know what
They'll
else?
They'll be Brocula.
Dude, you know what else is fucking hilarious about 311? And this is just how terribly bad hilarious they are. Is they were like, I grew up in the 90s, loved them, but the late 90s were cheesy as the fuck, right? Especially for white people. And they were all about that, like, fucking silver tight necklace.
Yeah.
Like, button-down rayon shirt with flames on it. Like, JNCO jeans.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, chain
they were,
on the jeans.
Yeah. Chain wallet. No. What's the predecessor comes after? Yeah. They were the hemp rope wallet.
Oh shit.
Yeah. They were like what ravers listened to when they wanted to hear lyrics.
Yeah.
It was 311. Like it was just so like, oh man, when you watch some like the double pierced hoop earring, short spiky bleach blonde hair. It was just
man,
like,
I
oh, you guys
so
are
bad.
So cheesy.
I wish I knew that I couldn't pull that off as a young boy, but I really envisioned myself like a Mark McGrath type. Like,
oh my God.
Like blonde.
Oh my God.
Oh, I wanted that so bad. I thought he looked so cool. I thought he was the perfect man.
Mark McGrath?
Yeah, I thought he was the perfect man. I was like, he's handsome, he's tall, he's got the voice of an angel.
I was actually on a flight with him once.
Really?
I was boarding the flight. He was sitting in first class, and the guy, one right in front of me, clearly recognized him and like bent down and said something like, you know, love the Sugar Ray, love it.
Yeah.
And he shook his hand. And as he was shaking the guy's hand, he made eye contact with me. And I made eye contact with him. And then he just offered me his hand. Like, I guess he thought we were together, me and the guy in front of me.
I was
like, yeah, thanks. And I shook his hand as well.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Very nice guy. Also, somewhat of a music historian.
Is that right?
Mark McGrath. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, I think it was on Jeopardy or some game show where he just like, like leveled the fucking competition with knowledge about music. Yeah,
a game show. Yeah,
like every morning there's a halo. Is it
hanging in front of that corner? And I just want to fly, which is what he was doing when you met him.
Yeah. God damn it! Why didn't I have the fourth? You're finally doing it, Mark. You're finally doing it. You're finally flying, brother. I'm so happy for you.
No wonder he was meeting everybody. He was happy as a lark up there.
He was living his dream.
He said, put your arms around me, baby. You're like, I just met you, buddy.
But I mean, hey, if it'll make you happy. Oh, that's fucking great.
Boy, you want to hear a real Clash of the 90s story here about 311? I love this story so much. I'm going to pull it up here. Apparently, lead singer of Creed, have you
Scott
heard this?
Stapp.
Scott Stapp.
My old friend.
Got into a fist fight with 311.
What?
I'd have paid $311 to see that. Yeah, at a charge day.
Sure.
I wish, what if they were like a fucking... They were like Holocaust deniers, and they were like, that's how many Jews were actually killed.
311?
Yeah.
Like, they admit that something happened.
But, you know, and you just wish that that was the only, what was I saying? Oh. But yeah, I wonder if they've ever, I guarantee they've charged $311 to get into a show.
Oh, probably.
For sure. Yeah.
Or for like something on vinyl.
This is such a great story.
Yeah. Scott Stapp, turns out, is a huge asshole. And
watch yourself.
Oh, shit.
Are you a Creed fan?
Yeah, not really, but yeah. I have fun.
We want to do a Creed episode.
They're a fun band to listen to when you're drunk.
Exactly. If you would have said yes, I would have shit on you relentlessly, but I would still think of you a good man.
Arms Wide Open is a great karaoke song.
Yeah.
No, I used to love Creed, but yeah, I was a dumbass.
I mean, have you ever heard his Marlins song? The song he wrote for the Florida Marlins when they were on their World Series run?
Wait, Scott
Stapp? Scott Stapp.
That's
Marlins Will Soar. It's
that
amazing.
That sounds like it would open a portal to hell.
Have you never heard it?
No.
Oh, it's so funny.
The Florida Marlins or the Miami Marlins?
It was back when they were the Florida Marlins.
Okay, so what? Because the Miami Marlins, their logo looks like cocaine. If cocaine became a logo,
it would be
the Miami Marlins fucking violet logo, violently bright logo. All right, so what's the story?
Okay, so I guess that where were they here? This was on Thanksgiving of all days.
What the fuck?
I can't see where they were, but that's not that important. It's Houston. It must have been in Houston. Maybe they're calling it Douchelmania 2005 because it apparently happened in the year of our Lord, 2005. I guess Scott Stapp came in drunk as shit.
No.
Breaking glasses. He was drinking like crazy. And
was it someone's house?
No, this is a bar. This is Baltimore. Oh, it was in Baltimore. Baltimore's Court Hotel, Harbor Court Hotel. And I guess he came in. He was kind of like loudly shouting that he loved to fight. You know how the guys that do that? Like,
sure.
Oh, I love a good fight right now.
Yeah, in the name of Jesus.
With fists wide open. Yeah.
It's called a slap fight.
Six feet from the edge.
So then I guess he comes in. He sees S.A. Martinez sitting with his wife at a table. And, you know, they're just trying to have a nice time. So then Steph comes up and starts talking shit to him. He tosses a napkin at them, and it didn't get their attention. So then he sits down with them and starts, like, saying weird shit and saying, like, dirty stuff to Martinez's wife.
What?
And then he punches, I guess Chad Sexton, the drummer, came up.
Yeah.
And Stapp threw a punch at Sexton that partially hit Martinez's wife, and then Martinez laid him out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a...
Can you imagine if the Pilgrims knew that's what would happen on Thanksgiving 300 years later? Like, this is the foundation,
like,
you're setting up.
So many things they can't understand, even. Yeah. Like, 311, that's... What is that? Is that a number? Do numbers go so high?
I think... Pack the maze up. We're leaving.
Turn it around. Oh, God.
Yeah, I love that story. I didn't realize
that's amazing.
That...
I actually
Scott
wish
Stapp
the Indians
that
greeted the Pilgrims knew that. So they'd have been like, just butcher them. Just butcher them all right now.
Yeah, right?
Just butcher them all now. Send the boat back full of heads.
We're doing you guys a favor. You don't even know.
Trust me, Baltimore.
What's Baltimore?
Shut up. Just trust me.
Well, shit, boys. Do you want to get into this playlist? We should probably get into this playlist. We're an hour into this thing.
Oh, wait. Do we listen to the songs?
We're going to sample
like
the songs.
30 seconds.
Okay, thank God.
Yeah.
And you can talk over them. While
yeah. Last episode, we barely could hear any of the music, I think. Which was a tragedy because I love the Bare Naked Ladies, and I was apparently the only one. I'm still pissed. All right, so the first song...
Chickadee China, the Chinese
hell
chicken.
Yeah. All right, so the first song on this playlist, we're going to start us off with a little Amber just to refamiliarize you guys with this band.
Amber Rose.
This is one of their later songs, too, I believe.
Oh,
this is like
yeah, that's right.
2000 or something.
Let's crank it up here. Oh, there we go.
I got to tell you something.
I mean,
mean, they've always And I'll admit my musical ignorance of tuba drums, but their drums always sound real sharp.
Yeah.
And I know he's hitting a snare. I get it, drum majors. That's a snare.
Yeah.
It sounds higher, snappier.
That's the Caribbean feel. That, when you hear a sharp drum like that, you're like, ooh, I'm on the island.
Yeah, the island of Omaha. The island of Nebraska. Omaha surrounded by a sea of corn.
Hand me the maze, man.
Yeah,
great song.
This is definitely like, it comes on after your high school dance.
Yeah.
You chant, you dance to it.
For me, this is like in the Aqueous Transmission folder of songs that I'm not chill enough to enjoy.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You son of a bitch.
Yeah. I just feel like if I was a more relaxed guy, I would love it, but I'm just too uptight.
Too uptight.
Interesting.
Yeah, I hear you.
I didn't ask you. What was your, like, did you listen to them at all when you were in high school or
anything?
The
only songs I really knew, I knew the singles, but I was never into it.
I know you're going to be annoyed with this comment probably, but I would always get them confused with Sublime. Like, I didn't know the difference.
I used to love Sublime, but I just...
not annoyed. I mean, that's like saying, like, pears and mangoes. I got those confused. It's like, oh, they're both kind of like fat fruit.
Yeah.
Like tubby-shaped fruit. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
if you called someone a mango-shaped man, they would be not less offended than if you said pear-shaped.
Yeah, exactly. It's like they're similar.
Unless it was Chris Kattan.
He is mango-shaped.
Oh,
he
I
looks
get
exactly
it.
Like mango.
Mango-shaped in his head. You know, it's, also... The lead singer of Sublime apparently couldn't kick that horse, you know?
Yeah,
it's all
exactly,
about that horse, as you guys have.
Yeah.
You like that mango shaped in his head?
I like that.
Wait, you know, like, can I say something, though? This is about like, completely off topic.
Uh-huh.
And it makes, like, I'm terrified of Chris Kattan.
Really?
Because I feel like.
He does seem like.
Because whatever
person.
He has, I worry if it's contagious. Because, like, I don't know. There's. The first time I ever saw Chris Kattan was in the movie Night at the Roxbury.
Oh yeah,
because I didn't
watch
Saturday Night Live back then. I was and it was like, oh, I think I was funny, and then like I started watching SNL again, and it was like, oh, and he like, what a shitty like road that guy's
his
had.
Trajectory is bad,
but you can't. It's like you blame. It's like, oh, he made choices. I mean, Corky Romano.
Yeah, that was bad. Y'all want some cookies? Remember that? Classic line from Corky Romano.
I can't.
It's a bad movie.
When
he
got that DUI a couple of years ago, I started a Facebook group called Pray for Chris Kattan, like as a joke, and then all these like legitimate Chris Kattan fans joined it and started posting like sincere messages, like we're so worried about Chris.
Really?
This one woman started posting it all the time, like, and then she started posting about how like she was really depressed and she's been cutting herself, and I was like, well, this joke is over.
Yeah.
This Chris Kattan Facebook joke.
Chris Katana Blade. But like there was a thing, this was like a couple of years ago, it was one of like it haunts me, it was an SNL bit, it was when Amy Poehler and Tina Fey were still doing Update, right, they brought out Chris Kattan just as Chris Kattan, and they was like, oh guys, you remember Chris, right?
Oh yeah.
And then he just did like a montage of like all of his characters, and they would set him up like, oh my god, and what about Mango, and he did it, and they were so fake laughing, but you could tell it was like a Lorne Michaels,
that was like him doing him a favor,
guys, a bone. Chris needs a bone,
yeah,
let's just go ahead and pretend like we love him, right? And it was so, and it horrifies me.
That is scary.
That sort of shit horrifies me.
You know what's
me.
Really scary? I'll see his, like, you see him on a comedy club websites like Peoria and shit, and it's like Chris Kattan and friends. And I guess he goes up and does like 15 minutes and then brings his like local comics up.
Well,
and
he does what every fucking guy like him does when they get to that point. They hire someone really funny to open and write for him.
Yeah.
It was Barry Rothbart for a while.
Oh, shit.
Barry, he's like, very opened funny. And, yeah, Barry's great. Yeah. He, like, opened for him and wrote.
Really?
Like,
holy shit.
Wrote material for him. Because he's like, yeah, of course you're going to do it.
Yeah. That's you're what fucking... Nikki has me do.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, you know, when you get a TV show canceled, you got to start doing comedy.
Oh, shit.
That wasn't on her. That was Comedy Central. They fucked up.
They're stupid as shit.
Yeah. That show was actually really fucking good.
It was amazing.
Yeah, I was stepping up.
I was really into it.
No, they're dumb as shit. But she makes me write her all of her jokes and open the show strong. And then no, I'm just kidding. No, it's fucked up. Like, seeing him on that Peoria website bummed me out. I was like, it's like a special engagement, but it's like, is it really? Yeah, nobody's happy with that show.
But it's also like you start to realize too, like if you have respect for what you fucking do,
right?
You don't end up in that position.
Sure, that's true.
But if you whore yourself out, you will. And, like, it's scary, though, just because there have been a couple of decisions I've made in my life. They're like, oh, yeah, I was definitely young and stupid and whoring myself out and regret ever taking that gig. But at least I stopped before it all fell apart.
There you go. And I think when you're, like... I think on the way up, it's a little different, too. It's that way down stuff that's scary, I think.
Yeah.
But, yeah, well, we wish you the best, Chris Kattan.
And that lady.
I hope
you guys
right.
find each other.
That's the happy ending, yeah.
And really just, you know, take a, you know, have a real slice of life.
Oh, no.
That's terrible. That's terrible and lame. That was the 311 of riffs. Like, you kind of hated it, but you're enjoying it because you hate it so much.
All right, this next song is called Welcome.
This is old.
A little bit. Let's crank it up.
Oh, this is one of these songs. It's like, whoa,
ooh,
what a vibey jam. Oh shit, where are we? We're at Club Med, right? Oh, damn. We're on the south coast of Jamaica. We're away from the tourists. We're away. Oh, shit, what? Oh, no. Damn. What the fuck? Where the supersonic? Oh, shit. Where all these speakers come from? Oh, we're underground. We're underground in a smoke
Make
field.
Make it
stop. Oh, shit. There's an arena around us. Oh, the lights. Where did all these lights come from? Oh, we're jamming. Oh, shit. Tell me when you're fucking 17. 14 through 17. This is a
minute. I've listened to this song, I'm going to say 15 times, and I don't remember it. I don't know how that's possible. This part I remember. All right, that's Welcome.
Welcome. That's their, first ever song on that album.
Is that right?
That's song one on that album. Yeah,
and that's music.
Music. Yeah.
They didn't call the album music.
They did call the album music.
Oh, music. Yeah, no. Of course, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
They were tongue-in-cheek from the get-go.
Music. That's music. Pretty good.
Yeah.
That's like Tommy Jonigan's album, stand-up comedy. He's the 311 of comedians. JK.
I love that love Johnny Jonigan.
Love you, Jonigan.
I love Jonigan. Who did I see? I just saw him with, what's the fucking guy's name?
Also, Alex Stone?
Yeah, I saw him
They're working on a show together.
Yeah.
They had Ron Artest, I'm sorry, Meta World Peace on their show, and I've never been more jealous of Alex in my life.
Oh, okay.
Did you get to, like, meet him?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they met. Yeah, yeah.
You want to double down on that jealousy? I was in a shitty movie with Meta World Peace.
Really?
And I did a sketch.
Holy shit.
With Meta World Peace, and it was one of the most painful afternoons of my life.
He seems brutal to be around.
No, here's the thing.
He's a psycho.
Well, yeah.
I mean, he's a drunk, though, most of it.
This was like a few years ago. I did this movie, a shitty movie, and he was in it.
It was Moonlight, right?
No, it was La La Land. We won. We were the real winners. you know what the saddest part of that, not the saddest part, the part that, like, I hate that I enjoyed so much about that Oscar moment was that the producer and whoever he is, I'm sure he's the fucking sweetest guy on earth, but he got, like, 5 sentences into his speech.
And then he had to immediately be like, well, we didn't win.
You know what I mean? It's like, oh, God, I hate that. So painful.
Yeah,
but at
that's
the same
pretty
time,
brutal.
Like, I enjoyed it. But the fucking... So anyway, the producers of this movie, they asked... They wanted to do like... they wanted to make a web series with Meta World Peace where it was like him telling nerdy white guys how to actually do something.
Yeah.
So we shot this one sketch together where like he was in a... I like recognize him in a porn store, right? And he's like, wait, what are we doing in here, man? Let me show you how to really pick up on women. And then we go to like a pool party and he shows up to pick up on women.
Yeah. Is that, can I find that online?
No, because it never happened. It never got released. Wow. It was just so fucking funny.
It's going to wash up like a Dead Sea Scroll someday. Just on a beach.
Well, it was like he would demand alcohol. He would sit there and drink before every show. And he was all confident and cocky. And as soon as the cameras were rolling, he was like a fucking 8-year-old. He was just like forgetting lines, nervous as hell. But there was one moment where we're shooting in an actual porn store in Midtown, and we keep having to come out and wait, and then they send us back in. And then we come out at one point, and there's this couple, and it was like they were sent from a casting agency. Like, she's got, like, a Chicago Bulls, like, jersey on, and he's just like, oh, Meta.
Yeah.
Not Chicago Bulls, I'm sorry, Lakers.
Oh, like, yeah.
Right, we're from L.A. Oh, and then they take pictures with them, and as they're walking off, I'm like, you know, they just saw you walking out of a porn store with, like, a pudgy white guy. And he was like, oh, shit. And he, like, chased him down and was like, erase that picture of me in front of the porn shop.
Oh, my God.
But let's get another one. He, like, got another
one
with him.
That is so funny.
But,
that's really funny.
So and I got his number. I'll give it to you.
Oh, I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'm going to text Meta World Peace. It'd be funny if... Because if he's like gets all shy in front of the cameras, that's why he like broke all those cameras. And he's like an asshole to cameraman. He's just shy. He doesn't want the
really shy guys.
No, he's the whole reason. I mean, he's the main reason that fucking Pacers team got disbanded. I hate him, but I also was like, I would love to talk to him.
Was he a Pacer?
Yeah.
Before a Laker?
Yeah.
He was a fan of Bulls.
He was still on our test.
Yeah. A fan threw a beer at him.
And he like attacked
him. Went into the
stands. I remember that. Yeah.
That's the Malice at the Palace.
Well, at least it's not. I think that is less terrible for basketball than the super team that is the
Golden State Warriors.
Are you a Pelicans
Congratulations.
Fan?
I didn't grow up with
them. Because they weren't there.
Yeah, they weren't there.
Yeah.
They grow up. I'm sort of just a general basketball fan.
Okay. Yeah.
But like, the fucking Warriors, it's like, come on.
I know.
Like, that's just not even, it's
not fair.
It's dumb.
It's really fucked up. It's kind of annoying.
They won last night. They won.
Yeah, they won.
It's so frustrating.
At the end.
But you know they're about to fall apart though. Because undeniably, the guy who comes in, he won Durant, he won the fucking MVP.
Yeah.
He's getting all the shine.
Uh-huh.
The team that was already there and already 73-9, they're going to be like, wait, what the fuck is this?
Right.
And it's going to fall apart.
Yeah.
I hope it does.
Money's got to become an issue at some point. But I just am so annoyed with people being like, see, that just shows LeBron's not great. It's like, what are you talking about? He was playing against the fucking Monstars.
Yeah.
Like, it's not fair.
Exactly, yeah. And he still did. He still averaged a fucking triple-double.
They were so close. You know? They should have won game 3. It doesn't matter.
Anyway. You know, all the crossover
Speaking
here.
Of three.
So angry. Three. This is fucking my stony baby.
This song's legitimately dumb. This is one that I like. I hate so much, but
I love it.
There's nothing I love to hate more. I'm realizing it now. It's like I love how much I hate this. So stupid. Listen. Oh shit.
What?
Oh shit. Thanks, Nick. Keep it downstream, salmon. Oh man. If I were a salmon, I'd be like, damn, this is my jam. It's so stupid.
What is this? Like, what mood would you be in to listen to this? That's like Limp Bizkit. It's like you're angry. 311, what are you, like, jaunty? Like, what is this?
This is like you're puffing a fucking on a glass pipe. You're smoking some Kind Bud while getting ready for the big drum circle. The big drum circle festival. Or like the, oh shit, what? At the same time? Oh shit. Oh, give it to him. Tickle those strings. Whatever you're... I don't know his... I don't know the gear. The cashew. There's Peanut the Bassist and Cashew.
The tour manager.
Yeah.
If they were a full nut based band, they all named them Peanut, Cashew, Macadamia. What's another nut?
Pistachio.
He's about to crack.
Pistachio. Like a pop, like a hyphen O. Nut. Huh? Yeah, this is like you're getting ready to go out. I don't even know. This is like you're going out on the night to be white. It's like if you're just a white person. Yeah, I think that song, this song right here, this sound is what all black people assume is going on in all white people's heads at all times.
They're not wrong.
This right here. Just.
Yeah, you're just walking to the bank.
Oh, I'm gonna another loan approved.
I'm going to go to the ATM for $100, but they're going to give me $300 or maybe $311. Woo!
Yeah. Let's keep it going.
We just broke those levels.
I'm about to piss.
Oh, shit. All right. Next song is called Down.
This is a newer jam.
Uh-oh.
Shit. It's the longest I've ever heard him for one stretch.
Yeah. What? That's it. He's so quiet. He's never wanted to. Now I'm worried. No, wait, hold on. What happened to Nick? Where's Nick? Oh, there he is. Oh, thank God. Oh, thank God. I was worried. I was worried for a second. And maybe some tip frosting went wrong. And this album was going to be... Oh, there's it. There he is. Just essay again. Where's Nick?
Do you have object permanence with the voices?
Nick? Nick? Oh, thank you.
Oh, yeah. That is Down.
Have you ever made out in a dark hallway?
Display the really kiss asking? That make you say, hey. That is the only song, and to my knowledge, that they had like an MTV video for.
Ah.
Yeah, and it's real. A lot of
That's
floor.
Why I know that. Okay. Yeah.
A lot of shots from the Let's floor up. The
I find that song to be loathsome.
Oh, yeah.
I just hate it so
it's,
much.
It's there. Yeah. Yeah, that album is just dumb.
That was the one that I kept hearing when I was younger, and I just like... viscerally did not like it.
It somehow like grazed right over me where I like vaguely remember it, but it never stuck to me enough. It was like, oh, I guess that's the most like, it's they put it in the album title. It's just music.
Yeah. that album is from 311 self-titled.
Ooh.
311. I remember this because by the time this album came out, I was kind of off. Like I was just sort of like, It was when I could like fully fledged admit like 311, not really.
You were off. You the started 311 being
like, they're kind of dumb, right?
You got a distance from it.
Well, no, it was. I just started talking shit about it more around friends and people being like, "What?" And it was like, "Yeah." I mean, come on, we all love this because it's so stupid, though, right? And we just love dances. Yeah. No, we legitimately like.
And that was that's when you found out. Well,
they said, "Get out of our house. You're broke.
Brokula."
But that came out roughly, I want to say. A year after Ill Communication by Beastie Boys.
Yeah.
Which is like, if I made a top 10 album list, that's like probably number two.
Okay.
Of the 90s specifically. Like that album, like, I was, oh man, like, I that's still to me, like, and I know a lot of hardcore Beastie Boy fans are going to fucking hate me saying this, but that to me is their opus.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love Ill Communication.
Yeah.
I love Check Your Head too. Paul's Boutique. I get it. License to Ill. Don't really give a shit about it.
Yeah.
To be honest,
the one that,
don't really
is,
give a shit.
What do you think is the, like, the one that Beastie Boys fans would argue is the greatest?
I don't see how you can argue that Ill Communication isn't the greatest. It has everything.
Yeah.
It showcases like their ability is just like pure MCs.
Uh-huh.
Like they can they do a song with Q-Tip.
Yeah.
And
they all
I mean like and you could never say the Beastie Boys individually were the greatest.
Uh-huh.
But when they came
sure,
together,
they were
fucking amazing.
It's so funny to listen to them and then listen to this. Like
I know,
right? Rapping.
But like yeah, exactly. Like but that album, I mean, there's that song Sambroso where it's just like an instrumental.
Yeah.
You know, it's just it to me, Ill Communication just showcases their full range as artists.
Mm-hmm.
I fucking love it.
But how does it compare to this?
Oh.
This is... Just a moment, man.
Up now.
Sunshine.
I can use a coffee. Never mind, I'll have a 311.
This is what my alarm sets to every day.
Yeah, at 8:16 a.m.
Yeah, I play this song at 8:16 a.m.
Well, a fucking...
is.
Yeah, I get to see Jennifer Aniston fall in love with this.
I could.
Picture her like kissing like Ben Stiller and this comes on.
Wait a second. Can you pause that for a second?
Yeah, yeah.
That's right. That's right, music people. You just heard a xylophone and a turntable at the same fucking time.
They said it couldn't be done.
They said it definitely shouldn't be done. And 311 just proved that. Oh, God, that really... you forget that there's a bing-ba-ding-bing, boom. Skip-a-rip, skip-a-kip-a. But... The fucking point from the Beastie Boys thing was we were listening to in a car listening to Ill Communication and our friend Joey was like, "Can I put on something else?" And this was like pre and he was driving. Yeah, so we were like, "Fine, it's your car." And this wasn't like iPhone plugged in the flip down the visor, pull the CD out. But he was also the guy who had all burnt CDs.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was just like he pulled out Ill Communication, and he put that in. He put it down. He's like, "You guys haven't heard this yet?" And it was that song. And we were like, "What the fuck?" He was the biggest 311 head. So, but he always had people over. That was like, he was that friend.
Yeah,
who you secretly really only hung out with because he always had friends over, you know?
Uh-huh.
And every single time, one of us would make it a point to sneak into his bedroom and set his alarm for 3:11 a.m.
That's so funny.
just like, someone's got to do it, right? You done it yet? Oh, fuck, I'll go do it real quick. But yeah, that song, 8:16 a.m., still to this day is, I think, probably one of the worst songs ever. It might be.
It's so funny that you put it on here.
Oh, because I love how stupid it is.
Yeah, yeah.
You gotta so love funny. How terrible this
I
is.
I would love to hear a full album worth of you directors commentarying these songs because this is the best.
It's morning. I wish we had had that before.
But that's
my face hurts.
I guess I just don't understand. Like, this is what shitty music's for, to love hating.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Like, wait, play that again. Play it again. Play it again. Listen to this.
Oh, I like it.
I mean...
Ooh.
Angel flowers still. If you're gonna wanna go another day, I will. Like this. Make a deal. You know what I'm saying? It's just like a... It's like the feel of a permanent. Imagine the video of this. Like, dirty white guy. Or like some like 90s white guy with like just a chin goatee.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like, the haircut that has made its way back around where it's shaved around the side. Ponytail at the top and like the shiny soccer jersey and the jinkos cruising through like Omaha, Nebraska or fucking Columbus, Ohio or any of these like college cities. Play Hackensack. That's what this is, a Hackensack song.
Every once in a while you hop on a longboard for a few seconds.
That what you're doing? Do some freestyle walking. Do you remember freestyle walking?
Parkour?
Yeah, that's what, yes. Freestyle walking is just like layman's parkour. It's that guy's, here we go. Oh, guys, wait a second. Oh, shit. Ooh. A complete change-up. What the fuck? This is the moment where he sees the love of his life. You know?
Or the love of his life does devil stuff.
Yeah, where he realizes, like, of course we'll bring the dog. A fucking lyrical choice.
Wow.
Of course we'll bring the dog.
Damn.
Wow.
You know? I feel like it's like bad jazz. It's about the shitty notes they're not playing. Yeah.
It's about the lyrics they're not writing.
Yeah.
Of course we'll bring the dog.
Oh, shit.
Damn. Hey, of course we'll bring the dog.
Yeah, it's a big dog with a bandana. That dog got a bandana. No. You know a 311 dog got a bandana.
I think a 311 dog also has a hemp wallet. Somehow.
Just like definitely duct tape to it.
Yeah, definitely has a hemp leash.
Oh, no.
Let me see if this will play.
You said that in a way where you were like, "No, come on, my sister's dog has a hemp leash."
Let's see if this one will play. We have really shitty Wi-Fi, and they don't have this one on Spotify.
Wait, which
fuck
one?
The bullshit.
Oh, it's the
1989
secret song.
Oh, it is playing. All right, let's see
the secret
if
song. Yeah, this was there. Take that. Oh shit! Got hit in the chest.
I think this is my least favorite song. This one hurt me.
Oh, this is there, like standing up with the man.
The mayor of Omaha is gonna get wind of this.
Is it a guitar? I don't know. It's a sound. You know what that is? That's a
fuck. I would like to pause that. Okay.
That's here.
If you didn't catch that lyric because of just how beautiful the I guess guitar playing was.
Yeah.
He said, you know I'm from Omaha, Nebraska. You know I never, ever visited Alaska.
Wow.
So he's letting you know.
Yeah.
He knows where the action is.
He knows.
And it ain't in Juneau.
It'd be funny if Alaska, like the mayor of Alaska, like elicited a response.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, we need an Alaskan band to put out something.
They were trying to start the Great Nebraska Alaska.
That's what
the Nebraska Alaska Musical
that's
War.
That's actually what set Scott Stapp off.
Oh,
because yeah. Is he from Alaska?
No, he's Florida.
Oh,
he's a Florida boy.
The Alaska
so perfect
of the South.
Yeah.
Wait, we gotta at least get to
hear some more here.
We gotta at least
get
to the. Fuck the bullshit, it's time to throw down.
Throw down. Do you think they were fighting people a lot?
No, I mean, but this was their like bro-y moment.
Yeah.
I will say this. I did see the two coolest things I've ever seen at a concert were at a 311. One was at 311 concert was some there was you know, mosh pits.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Those were a thing. But I have you ever been in a mosh pit?
Yes. Yeah, a little bit.
It wasn't about fucking injuring another person.
Mm-hmm.
That was, you know, it was like you ran, you bumped into each other.
Yeah, it's fun to jump into
get your aggression out.
Yeah,
right. But it wasn't about physically injuring people.
Sure.
But when you'd go to these 311 concerts, there would be these jacked up fucking high school football players who sucked, who are now like 25 and still living in the same hometown they went to high school with.
Yeah, yeah.
Coasting off their fucking how cool they were in high school. It just kind of doesn't really transcend high school, does it?
Right.
But they would show up to these concerts and just run through mosh pits, like looking to fuck up kids like little fucking 17-year-old, long-haired, like,
yeah.
Just kind of like bouncing off you guys. Just go, pow! And I'd get fucking flatlined.
Yeah.
But there was a pit at one of these 311 shows, and there was a guy doing that, just like running through the pit. And Peanut got on Nick Hexum's mic. That was the thing that happened.
Shit.
Right? Because I remember, because I don't know if you can tell or not, but Nick Hexum doesn't just rap. He sometimes plays the rhythm guitar.
Oh, I saw that.
So he
There's a picture of him with the guitar.
He was like tuning his guitar, was back turned, and Peanut got on the mic and was like, hey, man, chill out. And he just kind of pointed out to him. He's like, chill out, man. And then they went into their like last couple of songs, and there was clearly between songs a back and forth between Peanut and this guy, but there was no microphone involved in anybody.
Yeah.
And you could tell it was like maybe not going to be that big of a deal. But then they like end, right? They end the set. The band leaves. Everybody's freaking out. Just Peanut comes back and he grabs the mic and he's like, hey man, is there a fucking problem here?
Damn.
You're running around trying to fucking hurt people, man. That's not what this is about. We're 311. Love you. Y'all bullshit. And everybody's clapping and freaking out. And the guy's talking shit back and he goes, what? No, man, these are all my boys.
Oh,
and the whole audience just like, what? Like, erupts.
Wow.
And Peanut just stands up, and then the rest of the band comes back on, and they play Fuck the Bullshit. Now, that part, they're like
cool.
Encore. But, like, that part was like, that was the shittiest part. It was like, okay, now we got, oh, this song.
that inspired
such guys like this guy. But it was interesting seeing him talk shit to an audience member.
Yeah.
And then leading into the encore, which makes you think, was that arranged?
Ooh, you think that
audience,
he was a plant?
You
know,
I've
heard of a planter's peanut, but a peanut planted?
Baby.
Wow.
Boom.
Well
you
done,
heard it
Tommy.
First. But that, you know, I got some 311 conspiracy theories. I did once, there was one time I saw, this was actually the coolest thing I ever saw, at a Rage Against the Machine concert, 1999, when they were touring for Battle of Los Angeles. Good album. Fishbone was opening for them, and Vietnam, if you know that song. Mm-hmm. They turn on the radio. Nah, fuck it. Turn it off. Like mid-song, he's just like, stop. Throw the lights up. And he's like, and we're in the UNO Lakefront Arena. It's like 12,000 people. These house lights comes on, and Zach's just like, you. And he points out some dude. He's like, I have been watching you this entire time. Put your hands all over this woman who clearly does not want your fucking hands on her. If you do it again, I will have you thrown out of here.
And then that man was Tommy McNamara.
And that was you, motherfucker.
Yeah, it all comes full circle. Yeah. This whole podcast was just to get you.
To remind people who you were, Tommy. Toucher, a groper.
A lot of people don't want to talk about this. I've been hearing.
Don't start that nickname.
Tommy's a little creepy if you think about it.
Yeah, Tommy. What do you think about the song, Vietnam? Is it Vietnam fondle the woman in front of you? But yeah, that guy got thrown out.
That's awesome.
And then the whole time, Zach and they're fuck them, yelling shit, and he's thrown out. And then the lights just slowly dim again.
Yeah.
And it's just complete darkness, and everybody's, wah! And they wait until it sort of silences down, and then just turn on the radio, and they're right back into it. It's like, God damn it. If that's that awesome. Was planned, I'm that's all right amazing. With it. Yeah, that's a good amazing. Bit.
That's a good feel. But, yeah.
But 311. Anyway, what's the next song?
Oh, I think that's all it, right? We. I guess we'll start wrapping this bad boy up. We're an hour and a half in.
Did we really just go through three?
We went
six.
Six songs.
Why six songs?
Because 3 + 1 + 1.
Right. Oh, okay. Exactly. No, I think six is like just enough to where you get a real taste of them.
Yeah.
And then I feel like it's a fair shot. And any more than six is too much.
Yeah.
But I think any less, too little.
Everybody knows that.
Tommy, you want to give your rating first? We rate the playlist.
You should.
So, keep in mind all those things you said about how you don't judge the guy. You judge the... You know what? I think you're a great man. I think you're a very funny man. And I'm going to give him a 1 out of 6.
Yeah. Oh, shit. I
that's the lowest rating you've
given,
I think.
I gave Limp Bizkit a 2, and I'm giving them a 1 because Limp Bizkit you listen to when you're angry and pissed off. This, I can't think of any scenario where I would listen to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't, I'm not, I don't spend time thinking about how I hate them. I just, if I have to give them a rating, it would be a 1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I give them a 1.
Yeah, I mean,
how has this podcast turned into me being the only one defending?
What's
happening with Bare Naked Ladies? I think I would give it because the thing is, hey, maybe put some boat shoes on me because I'm an Amber fan. Oh wow, Tommy, I love Amber. Give me an Amber Alert, when this song's playing. I'm dancing.
Just kidnapped my heart. Have you seen it?
I didn't care that much for Welcome. I like Stony Baby for whatever reason. I'm cool with 8:16 a.m. I think that what's
like
happening
Stony
to me,
Baby?
I kind of like it. Here's what happened. The first time I listened to this playlist, I hated everything but Amber. But in some sort of musical Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah.
I've made myself, just like with Limp Bizkit, for whatever reason, I started enjoying it by the end. I'm going to go 3.2 out of 6.
Why don't you give it 3.11, you dumbass?
Okay, well, 2. Well, 2 is, 1 plus 1.
That's
so
true.
So he was doing very coded.
3.2.
311,
yeah.
Yeah. I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
3.2. That's a real 311 fan.
not some fondler.
not some.
I think Tommy only gave him a 1 because he got kicked out of that concert.
That was also you at the 311?
Yeah, he was also at the 311.
Jesus.
He was an ex-football player. He's a buff guy.
Yeah, you see how tough I am.
So you're the one who was just flattening.
I'm going to go to 3.2, so I guess I stand by 311. I don't know.
It's just so fucking dumb.
I will say the best way to listen to them, John Patton talking over it.
I do wish that I had a... we have it on recording on this very podcast.
Wow.
I think, sometimes
if enough people request it, I will do commentary over just the first three 311 albums.
Yes. Oh, that would be my favorite thing.
If you want to hear
for
that.
Music, Grassroots, and 311 self-titled.
Okay, you're committing to only three albums.
No, those are the only three I know. Anything after that, I'm like, get the... I know there's one, I think the next one's called Transistor. I'm not around for that one. I'm going only with the ones that I had personal high school experience with.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Shit. Well, we sometimes play a game, but I think we're just gonna wrap this one up. We're deep into this one.
All right.
Sean, thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you, man.
So fucking fun.
We did it.
Is there anything you want to plug? This will come out tomorrow. So,
You can check it. Go to my website. It is meseanpatton.com. If you'd like to come see me live, there are dates posted. Mm-hmm. And videos you can watch to decide if you'd like to see me live.
Check out Sean. He's one of my favorite fucking comics. He's so good.
So funny.
Thanks, guys.
Incredible. You have a half hour that I know. Is that still, can people find that?
You can actually watch that on my
site. Is that on your website?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, awesome. Nice.
So check that out. That's an incredible
But there's other stuff, too. But there's other stuff too.
There is not any other stuff.
No, there's a bunch of stuff. Tom wrote for me when he was opening. Because it's me, Nikki.
Oh shit!
Sean Patton's a character. The laser plays.
Oh, that's crazy, man. My mind is blown. Tommy, you got anything you want
to
plug?
Yeah, come to my show Monday, Union Hall, the 19th, 8 p.m. That'll be a great time.
What's it called?
That lineup is sick.
That's called Tommy McNamara's Summer Beach Bash. It's going to be a beach bash.
A little similar to Island Time. Is that what it's called?
That's what the other producers of Island Time have accused me of.
Well, I think that you can, the theme song should,
boop-a-dee-boop. Should I just play 311 throughout? Yeah.
I will be at the DC Improv this weekend with Nikki Glaser.
Main
Friday,
room?
Main room.
It's
Friday through
club,
Sunday.
Great club.
Great spot. I'll be at the Freehold anniversary this Monday, the 19th, at Freehold in Williamsburg. The bar's sick. Skankfest is June 24th at the Creek in the Cave. And you know, follow us, rate and review the podcast, and. Like we said, we'll suck your fucking
dick. We will
suck
your dicks.
We'll suck your little dicks. We'll, hey, three for one special. We'll jam them all in a fidget spinner. And
ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. And
follow
keep
Sean
it crispy.
Patton, keep it crunchy. What the fuckers. Bye.
Crunch it soggy. I'm not a man.